Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Jeff Garcia of News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone. Your San Antonio Spurs already in the midst of their preseason slate ahead of the 2019-20 regular season, and wouldn't you know it, the sky is falling, everything's coming apart, tank the season, fire pop. Yeah, you're already hearing that from fans after the Spurs have started the preseason 0-2. Dropping a couple games, one to the Magic and one to the Heat. Something about those Florida teams. But is this much to do about anything? Is this something that you look back maybe come Christmas, Halloween, Spurs fans would be saying like, oh yeah, that was a funny moment. Well, to talk about that and more, I'm joined by my good friend, my good buddy over at ESPN San Antonio and co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover, James Pleasure. James, welcome back to Lockdown Spurs. And it's been a while, man.
It's been a minute, but then again, it's been the off season, so I kind of get it.
Yeah, it really has been the off season, but things are slowly starting to pick up, and obviously the big topic right now among Spurs fandom is 0-2, and a lot of Spurs fans are already starting to point the finger, and look at Derek White, and look at DeMar, and Pop, what are you doing with the rotations? James, simply put, this is much to do about nothing, right?
Yeah, I mean... You're a little worried, maybe, just because of the way they're getting beat more than anything. Like, you've seen the Spurs, and usually their preseason games over the last few years, the 3-2 last year, I believe they're usually around 500, and you see at least close games or close losses. The two takeaways I've had from the two preseason games is the Spurs offense has yet to break 90 points. And the Spurs defense has yet to allow under 107 points. Those are two really bad stats when you look at the grand scheme of things. Now, you start looking deeper and like, well, how many minutes are people playing? Maybe the starters aren't playing. Well, Rudy Gay played 22. You're seeing 19 from DeJounte and Derek and DeMar. And so you're like, it's decent minutes. Not great. I mean, they're not playing like starters minutes, but they're also not playing like 5 minutes and getting off the court.
Sure.
So you're not like really protecting them. So there's cause for concern, but I also think this is a bit of Frankenstein Pop.
I gotta agree.
He's trying to piece and part lineup together, see what works. You know, he's got a whole new cast and crew with a whole bunch of young guards, and there's not really a way to space the floor very effectively with the pieces and parts that he has, especially with the loss of Davis Bertans and the non-acquisition of Marcus Morris, which he made extremely poignant his feelings towards that during the Spurs opening media day when they opened up training camp last week. So there's probably a little bit of Frankenstein Pop going on where it's just trying to put things together. You're trying to ease DeJounte Murray back into the fold and get minutes and just playing in basketball. Cause let's face it, it was a year ago, right about now, where he suffered the injury.
Well, here's the thing. Look, I give him a pass for game one. Obviously, they were going to lose that. You didn't have almost half the players play in the opening preseason game. And then you throw in a bunch of rookies and a Murray who hasn't played in maybe close to a year, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, they're going to lose that game. And boy, did they lose it down at 1.41 points. But again, the as they say, it's the preseason. Wins and losses really don't matter. Now, you fast forward to the recent loss to Miami. And now you're starting to see things that maybe, like you pointed out, that could be an issue. Although I'm on the side of it's just the preseason. Let's see how they are come the last game of the preseason heading into the regular season. Nevertheless, my takeaway is Derek White looks gassed. He looks like he's just off a little bit. I believe he's only made one field goal in the last two preseason games. Has it been the D. White that we know? Right, exactly. It hasn't been the D. White that Spurs fans have come to love. Do you have to factor in his summer, James?
I mean, sure. I mean, he played USA ball. He played all throughout the summer. He played into the postseason. It was a long series against the Nuggets. I mean, there's he played his first really full season in the NBA with the Spurs, playing all 82 and the postseason, getting substantial minutes. So this is probably the most he's probably played, quote unquote, since Colorado.
Yeah. So,
but when I say Frankenstein Pop, it's, you know, him taking pieces and parts and just throwing them together to kind of see what the chemistry is between them, where he's almost mad scientisting and doctoring this lineup just to, you know, I'm going to throw this lineup out here and see what it does. All right, I'm going to put Derek White on the second team and see what that happens. I'm going to throw Derek White with the starters and let him play with DeJounte and DeMar and see how
I'm going to put Patty Mills and Bellinelli together on the court and make all Spurs fans pull their hair out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just him throwing different lineups together to just kind of see, well, let's see how they play together. Let's see what sticks in game situations. And, you know, I think that's exactly what Pop is using this preseason for the most part, because let's face it, this is a completely different Spurs roster than anything we've ever seen. And a lot of the NBA game now is about spacing. And we don't have a whole lot of floor spacers on this team. So you got to find a way to make the best of what you've got with the limited amount of floor spacing that you have.
Right. After the game versus Miami, Pop popped off and already went to the S word, soft. He already went to this already in preseason action. He said, and I have the quote here, I goes, "My assessment after two games so far is that our competitive nature is lacking. Some would interpret that as soft, and that's how we are playing. I don't see the competitiveness necessary to compete in the NBA. I don't see the, quote, give a bleep factor the way it needs to be." Pop is already firing off on this team. What are your thoughts on that, James? A little too soon for that? You ready to go to the S word?
It sounds really soon for the S word. Usually that doesn't come till about December, maybe just before the rodeo road trip. But it feels like he's been going to it earlier and earlier with this team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of it is, you know, you have a whole new coaching staff for the most part. Becky's the one of the few constants on that staff with Pop. You've added in a Tim Duncan, who's going to command a lot of presence and respect from the players on that team, being who he is. And I imagine he would play a similar role on that staff as he kind of did in the locker room when he was a player. It's like Pop goes off on them. Tim's like, "It's all right, guys. We're going to be okay. We're going to figure this out ourselves." You know, being kind of the mediator between the coaching staff and the players almost. So maybe this is the first kind of trial run of that for some of the younger guys that really didn't get to play that much with Duncan and don't know about that. And, you know, DeMar DeRozan, who never really played with Tim and doesn't know the difference between serving and Pop, or Pop going off on his team and then Tim giving the kind of, it's all right, guys, we're going to be fine, you know, reassurance to him after Pop goes off on him, and being that kind of sounding board between the two, the coaches and the players. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Tim's role on this team is between the coaches and the players, and how, you know, that balance of him now being a coach and what he brings in terms of helping to unify where the two are. And it's going to be very interesting to see, but at the same time, man, this is a very, 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 very brutal Western Conference that you're going to have to navigate this year. Denver's gotten better. Utah's gotten better. Houston seems to have gotten better on paper with the addition of Harden and Westbrook and keeping Gordon and Capella. I mean, they've got a team that looks like it's ready. The Warriors may have taken a step back, but it's not like they're a bad team. You got both LA teams to contend with. Sacramento's young and upcoming. You've got the New Orleans Pelicans, who have so much talent right now, and Zion Williams. I mean, the Spurs could be fighting for that 8 seed, and maybe on the outside looking out by the time playoff time comes around. Don't be surprised if that's a possibility. I mean, this team is going to have to find itself quickly because games are going to be of the utmost importance.
Right.
Because I think Oklahoma City is going to be a lot better than people are giving them credit for as well.
Well, here's the thing. You look at the, I guess, the vibe after the loss to Miami, and it was right down the middle. And you could almost, you know, you could see it between the older players and the younger players. I'll start off with the younger players. DeJounte Murray, after the loss, literally said, "We have to take the preseason seriously from the first man to the 15th man. This is it. All NBA scouts are here looking at our team. Ready?" Now you fast forward and look at LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. LMA goes, "It's just the preseason. It's too early. We'll find our rhythm." DeMar DeRozan, same thing. "We got a lot of work to do, but good thing it's early." It looks like there's a little bit of an imbalance there, James.
There's a little bit of an imbalance, but it's also like those guys, DeMar has been with the contending teams such as the Raptors and also with the Spurs. And he knows, like, hey, we're going to find our footing. It's going to be fine. The difference this year from any other year is the depth of the West is as deep as it's ever been. And there are a lot of teams that are going to be fighting for those final four playoff spots. And I think when you look at it on paper, you may only rule out one or two teams right off the bat in the West that, like, they're not going to make the playoffs. The rest, you can argue, all have a chance. And even the ones you're trying to write off, like maybe Sacramento, like, remember, they were in playoff contention up until near the end of the season as well. So after the draft and free agency, they've gotten a little bit better too. So there's a whole lot, and then you're dealing with a team that doesn't know who it is for the most part. There's a whole bunch of pieces and parts that you don't know how they're going to fit together. So you kind of have to fast forward the learning process and expedite it, because every loss is going to be magnified when you're dealing with a West that's so deep that everyone's going to be fighting over these playoff spots, and it's going to come down to the wire, because you can see probably 12 teams winning about 40 games this year.
You look at the first two preseason matches. Obviously, the Spurs got L's. They got handed some L's. And Spurs fans, you know, are already jumping off the cliff. Well, not all of them, but most of them are. They're jumping off the cliff. Just take the pulse of social media right now, and you know, it's all hands on deck. Season's over.
It's a really good barometer.
It's a really good barometer. Yeah. But if you want to look at
overreaction even better, on social media, right, Jeff?
Yeah, exactly. But if you want to look at a real good barometer, within the Popovich era, Spurs have been horrendous in the preseason and have gone on to win titles. Have been horrendous in the preseason and had good deep playoff runs. Now, obviously, that was a different makeup with the team. When you have guys by the name of Ginobili, Parker, and Duncan, yeah, you know, you're going to have a better regular season than maybe this current crop. But if the main thread in all that binds all that together is Popovich, and I still believe he'll have this team ready to go come the start of the regular season. Now, I agree with you. If the Spurs drop games early, that's going to haunt them down the road. And as much as everybody says the NBA regular season is a marathon, it's not a sprint. Talk to me when it's past the All-Star break. I think this season in the West, that has to go out the window, because those losses early on in the season are going to haunt this Spurs team deep in the regular season when playoff positioning matters, James.
Yeah, because it feels like there's going to be a whole lot of self-cannibalism when it comes to the Western Conference. And then you got to deal with the better teams in the East too, because you got to play them as well. So losses, especially losses to bad teams or teams that you feel you should beat, are going to carry what feels like at this point of the preseason. I'm saying, but at this point of the preseason, with the way the West looks and the strength of it, it's going to hold a lot of weight. Like losses in general will hold a lot of weight, but especially bad losses.
In a minute, we're going to continue our chat with ESPN San Antonio's James Pledger. Let's continue our chat with James Pledger. He is the co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover out in San Antonio with ESPN San Antonio. And James, how can they find that on the radio dial?
Well, it's 1250 on the AM, 94.5 on the FM if you're in San Antonio. If you're not, well, that's okay. We got you covered there, too. You can listen online at ESPNSA.com anytime throughout the day, or you can also check out the podcast at ESPNSA.com under the Audio Vault tab.
One of the you mentioned it right away at the beginning of the show about the Spurs. You know, the defense is lacking. You know, these teams are scoring, you know, in droves versus San Antonio in the preseason matchups. And again, you know, I pause a little bit because I'm talking about the preseason, but then when you hear what the players said following the loss to Miami, kind of rings true what you were saying and maybe what I was echoing. You look at what DeMar DeRozan had to say following the loss, and obviously he said they have a lot of work to do, but he went on to say, when he was asked, what does the team need to work on the most? Defense, quote, everything on the defensive end, we need to tighten up. We did a lot better moving the ball offensively, but we need to tighten up our defense and get better at taking care of the ball. James, I thought the whole point of the offseason was to address the defensive end. Popovich has made it known. You know, they're bringing Damari Carroll. DeJounte Murray's back. And Derek White is this better defender than we thought. Looks like defense is still going to be an issue for this team, at least this very early on in the preseason.
Sure, and a lot of it's going to be finding people, learning. A lot of these people haven't played together, so you got to learn how to communicate with one another and then, you know, try and become that cohesive unit that almost moves as one defensively and knows how to rotate and where they're supposed to be. So that's going to take some time to figure out, obviously, especially with all these new pieces that you're adding into the mix. And it's going to be have to be expedited how quickly they learn how to play with one another because of the intensity. And I think this team, its strength is going to have to be its defense, because while they can score offensively and get out and run a little bit now with DeJounte Murray back, they're not going to be able to score with the elite teams and be able to stop them. So they need to find a way. Their niche has always been, we're going to lock some teams down defensively, and we're going to run efficient sets offensively. That's kind of, I feel that's going to be the makeup of this team, just because they don't have the ability to kind of score in droves the way that, you know, Golden State has or right. Houston does. Like, they don't have that guy that they can dump it into and give you 37 points a game the way James Harden did last year, or that can just go off and, you know, hit a whole bunch of threes the way Golden State and Houston do. Or, you know, those things are not how the Spurs are comprised, but they've got enough length and athleticism to where defensively they can be a real stickler if they know how to play together. And if they learn how to play together, and with, you know, Damari Carroll and his ability to guard multiple positions, and Rudy Gay, DeJounte Murray, Derek White, all of them being able to be long enough to guard multiple positions and help maybe cover up what would be a defensive liability, such as DeMar DeRozan, the way LaMarcus Aldridge has played defensively in the past few years since joining the Spurs, and the way he's kind of set things up. You see the potential that this defense has to be great, and that's going to be what they're going to hang their hat on. But they have to learn each other first, and they have to be able to communicate with one another, and they have to be able to, you know, basically know where they're rotating without having to think about it. It has to be, you know, just a constant blocking out. It's almost got to be like Ultra Instinct. You know, their mind can't get in the way of what they're doing. So that's exactly what the San Antonio Spurs defense needs to be. Now, how quickly can they get to that point remains to be seen, but I see what they kind of need to do to be the best version of themselves.
Lonnie Walker echoed your statement after a recent practice, and he said that the point of the preseason is simply just to learn each other. That's it. That is just simply to learn one another, learn each other's games, learn each other's strengths and weaknesses, and hope for the best come the regular season. And I think that's how I'm seeing this preseason right now. You mentioned it earlier that this is practically a brand new team. I know what Buford and Pop said at the end of last season that, oh, they're running it back, but not really. They're not really running it back. They have a lot of new pieces. These pieces are going to need time to blend in, get that chemistry down, understand Pop and what he wants on that court on both ends of the floor. Now, it's not all doom and gloom after two straight losses. No, it's not. There are a few bright spots, and I think the biggest bright spot is Bryn Forbes. It looks like, you know, he obviously he's playing for a contract this season, but if that's so, my goodness, I'll take it, because he looks like his shot is sunk down, and that added size to his frame may be paying off for him.
Yeah, at Spurs Media Day, that was the first thing we noticed when we, you know, sat down and actually got to talk with Bryn. And that interview is also at ESPNSA.com in the Audio Vault tab if y'all want to go back and listen to it. Or you can also check it out at ESPN San Antonio's Instagram page. We've put the videos up there, too, so you can check it out. But Bryn looks bigger. His body looks like it's developed and transformed. We asked him. He says he's put on probably about 15 pounds of you know, muscle. And
did he go into the hyperbolic chamber?
Visibly disturbed. It's visibly, you can tell just looking at him that he has really transformed his body this offseason. And on top of that, he's shooting the ball extremely well so far in the preseason. So Bryn is going to be one of those, you know, he, Patty, Marco, those are kind of going to be the guys that help space the floor. So I know we keep talking about a lineup over the offseason where you could see DeMar and DeJounte and Derek all together, or Derek and DeJounte together. And sure, you could. But I don't know if I don't put it past Pop to have Bryn Forbes in the starting lineup most nights along with DeJounte or Derek, because he gives you the ability to space the floor. Mm-hmm. He gives you a threat from outside that the others don't give you. So when you look at it, Bryn Forbes may end up starting on this team and could be a very, very efficient offensive weapon and really help to open things up for guys like LaMarcus or DeJounte or DeMar and the games that they have that kind of play inside the three-point line.
Another bright spot in the first two preseason games is that you look at the fact that DeJounte Murray is back, at least in that first game versus the Magic. He showed that, you know, he's starting to get comfortable with that open shot, that little mid-range shot. He did knock down 1 3-point shot versus the Magic. Now, versus the Heat, I believe, James, correct me if I'm wrong, he was pulled early. He didn't play the full game. They just Pop just yanked him.
Yeah, no. And you're going to see that a lot in the preseason, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see them really testing a lot of things. They're going to try some things. They're going to look at some things. They're going to see if some things work or not. And then they're going to, you know, hit the eject button in the preseason, because I think this is about keeping guys healthy because of what happened last year with both. Let's not forget, Lonnie got injured early too.
Yeah, that's true.
Last season, which kind of ruined his whole rookie experience.
As did Derek.
The effect that he was able to, but it helped Derek in terms of, well, he got injured early in the season, but not really in the preseason. But it helped Derek to kind of catapult him into the player he is. But these players, I think that Pop's going to be like, let's just get to the regular season healthy and see how this thing plays out.
Yeah, so early on, you know, I do like what I see in very, very small sample size, that DeJounte Murray's open jump shot seems to be falling. He showed it off in the offseason, in personal workouts. You know, a lot of fans scoffed at that, saying, ooh, whoop-de-doo, nobody's defending you. You know, yeah, you can knock down the shot. But if that can translate to next season, when the ball goes up in the air versus the Knicks and one Marcus Morris, but it'll be interesting to see if he can knock that down. Now, if he can knock that down, he makes for one deadly player that the San Antonio Spurs will have in uniform. In a second, we're going to continue our chat with ESPN San Antonio's very own James Pledger. Let's go ahead and wrap up our chat with the co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover, which you can find on ESPN San Antonio, your radio dial out in San Antonio, or on the internet, as James has explained. Simply go to, I believe it's ESPNSanAntonio.com, or just shortly ESPNSA.com is good enough.
ESPNSA.com.
There you go. What's going on with Saturday Morning Hangover? Tell us.
Oh, we've been having fun. We were out on location last week, House of Cards and Collectibles. Went out, got to kind of hang out with the people a little bit. That was a whole lot of fun. But, you know, it's football season, man. So, you know, there's a ton of Cowboys talk. There's a ton of Longhorn and yeah. Aggie talk. So it's kind of the fun time of year where we get to really dive into what most people hold near and dear to their heart in the state of Texas, which is football.
Right. You know, I'm glad I didn't, well, maybe I'm not glad, but, you know, if I was there at the remote that you had at that House of Cards, I would have just, I'd be inside. So I would be inside. I'm just going to be hanging out inside, James. Y'all can get me if I'm in here.
You would have spent so much money, man. They had some of the coolest stuff there. I had to spend some money too. I got like an Iron Man print and a couple of different things. I got a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the Bel-Air Academy Will Smith jersey, number 14.
All right. That's a good pick. Real quickly, 0-2 start for the San Antonio Spurs. Again, you're sticking with a baby bit of concern, correct?
On a scale of no deal, little deal, moderate deal, big deal, I put it somewhere in between little deal and moderate deal. Because it's a concern, but at the same time, it's only a concern because of how they've lost. If you look as deep into it as you can, you realize that they're throwing out a whole bunch of lineups, so it's kind of like trying to figure out which pieces and parts fit best together, which lineups work, which don't. And then there's been a limited minute share for most players that you would see getting a ton of minutes, so it's kind of also, let's kind of get this into the regular season and avoid injury and kind of get to where we need to go, and then we can figure things out as we go. But the little to moderate deal comes with, they need to figure this thing out quickly on who they're going to be and how to play together, because losses are going to matter this year.
Right. And they'll be able to continue that progress to a better team. They'll play the Pelicans next in preseason action. The first look at Zion out in San Antonio. So that should be a fun preseason game. That'll be fun. He's already wrecking everybody, at least in the very limited time he's gotten in the preseason.
Well, you know, Jeff, the way the Spurs are playing right now, Jeff, if you want to buy a ticket just to see Zion just kind of take flight, this might be the time to do it.
Well, there you go. Head on out to the AT&T Center to see Zion take flight. And, but yeah, I mean, I want to see if he has a mid-range shot. If he, you know, he's all dunk and that's good and all, but yeah, you know, defense are going to know that and dare him to take that open shot. So we'll see how he does. Hopefully the Spurs will have their defense a little bit better versus Zion and not be on the bad end of highlights, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I want to go to that game. Let him get to the rim at will. It's preseason. Hey, just let him dunk.
All right.
I want to enjoy myself.
Now, for all y'all listening right now who want to just bash James for just saying he hopes that Zion dunks all over the Spurs, James, how can they follow you on Twitter?
I am Pledger, and I'm sorry. If you're going to the game, you want to see it too. It's
yeah, I know. I would too.
So just calm down.
So your Twitter handle?
Yeah, I am Pledger, both Twitter and Instagram.
There you go. And again, one more time, tell us about Saturday Morning Hangover.
Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. Join me and RJ as well. We talk Spurs, Cowboys, Texans, Longhorns, you know, everything pertinent in sports. And probably this week even get into the NBA China fiasco that Pop weighed off on this week or last night, should I say.
Yeah, well, good luck to you, hopefully. Hopefully that doesn't get some calls going your way that maybe you're like...
Well, I don't plan on making a lot of trips to China anytime soon, so I think I'm okay.
All right. Well, with that, as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Speaking of the Spurs Zone, go to News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com for everything under the sun, silver and black, and Locked On Spurs, You can subscribe to Locked On Spurs and the rest of the Locked On NBA Network, or just the network itself, whether that be MLB, NFL, NBA. It's all there. Just pick a platform, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart. The Locked On Network is there for you to subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, give us a like, give us that star, hit that star, and subscribe to Locked On Spurs. But for James Pledger, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.